independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know, I said from the beginning, let Obamacare implode and then do it. I turned out to be right. Let Obamacare implode.
Well, it's going to implode at some point in time. The skinny bill, the medium-sized bill, the chunky bill, the obese bill, none of it got through. There is no going to conference. There's no debating it at this moment in time. Mitch McConnell, the senators on both sides of the aisle are going to have to stare at each other and say, okay, what do we do from here? Because something needs to get done. Joining us, as he does every Friday, via Skype today, my man Jim Kenney from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Jim, they failed, and the big deciding factor was the maverick, McCain. And I have said what he went through over the last 2.5-3 weeks played a huge role in his rethinking of his yes or no vote.
It could very well have been, Chad. There's a very interesting ad I stumbled across today from John McCain's 2016 senatorial campaign to be reelected, where he says, please send me back to Washington so that I can repeal Obamacare. So I'm not really sure what's happened in the last 9 months. As you said, he did have that cancer diagnosis, and that might have, as you said, changed him somewhat and made him reflect on his life. And I don't know why, though, that would necessarily make him vote no, other than John McCain has always been a maverick and always will be a maverick. And there's just something about it decided he needed to say no on.
I was impressed by one thing. Mitch McConnell, of course, the majority leader in the Senate, the guy that really took the lead. Everybody's always he's a magician. He's going to get this thing done. One thing he did do last night was he threw this out there, and I love what he had to say, because I think it's time now that the pressure goes back to the Democrats.
It's time for our friends on the other side to tell us what they have in mind. And we'll see how the American people feel about their ideas.
It's time, man, and it's tough. 7 years they've played offense, and now when it was time for them to really put up and play both sides of the ball, offense and defense, they failed. And it's good to put the pressure back on them, because the Democrats have to realize you guys caused this mess. It's in the ball's in our court, but you guys caused this.
You're absolutely correct. There were zero Republican votes to pass Obamacare back when it passed. The problem now is with the Republicans running the House, the Senate, and the White House, the ball is on their court to fix the problem before it does collapse, as Trump has spoken of. But I think it's a great idea with McConnell to sit down with the Democrats. People want bipartisanship. People want both sides to work together. Most people want solutions, regardless if it's a Republican solution, a Democrat solution, or a bipartisan solution. So anything that can get us to a solution to fix the healthcare problem in America is certainly something that will be appreciated by all parties.
You know, Jim, as we visit with Jim Kenney from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, there's a lot of pride here, and there are people out there that the disdain they have for Barack Obama is tremendous. They want to see his legacy wiped out. And the people on the left want to see his legacy kept intact. And this is really the last thing of his legacy that's left out there. Not that he had a ton of it, but there are people out there that the name alone is a reason that they want to vote for or against it. And that is insane in this day and age, but that's where we're at.
No, absolutely. And it's a factor on both sides. It's a reason why the Democrats won't let it go. And it's a reason why, as you said, it drives many, many Republicans to repeal it, simply because it is Obamacare. Now, the bill was ill-conceived, badly funded, badly set up, rushed through, and is not exactly an example of how you would want to pass a piece of legislation if you're writing a book or a process on it. But the Obamacare name is something that carries a lot of weight, both negatively and positively, for a lot of people. And they're going to determine if you're on the right, you want rid of it because it's Obamacare, on the left, you want it to stay there because it's Obamacare. So maybe we should stop naming these after presidents or leaders or bill introducers and simply just call it, you know, Healthcare for America or something like that.
Because you think about this, if this was just the ACA, would we be having this kind of disdain and towards each other over this, or would they actually be trying to do something? If this was just one of those, this is just called the ACA, this is called Bill 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there wouldn't be this fight. And that is driving me insane. I don't care what you call it. Fix it.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, if this was, if we were trying to fix the Social Security Act, if there was a problem with that, where it was going bankrupt, and we needed to do that, there would not be the rancor and the animus on both sides, because it's something that affects all Americans, all retirees. Same thing here. Even the healthcare has even got a broader net. I mean, it affects everybody. You and I aren't retirees, but healthcare affects us. It affects every American. And we need to do something, both on the insurance side and on the healthcare side, to reduce costs. But we got to do something to get this fixed, because it is going to implode. Trump is correct about that. It is going to implode. It is not financially viable, and something's going to happen, and we need to get it done before it does, because either way, it is not going to bode well for the Republicans, because they're going to wind up with the ones having to explain what happened, because they're in control of the Congress right now.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, I don't know where they go from here. I don't think they know where they go, and I think that this is where I think they should go. I think last night the best thing that happened was this, because I think now saying that you have to join this debate and you have to join this solution party that we're putting together here, it could potentially be the best thing for as many as possible. Because let's be real, Jim, we're never going to make everybody happy. Some people who are going to get their wish, which is a repeal, may see their everything go up, and they're going to be pissed off. And other people who are worried about the repeal may get better, cheaper coverage, and they're going to be happy. So you're not going to make everybody happy.
No, absolutely not. Because remember, one of the problems why Obamacare has never polled well, though, now when it looks like it's going to be repealed, or looked like it was going to be repealed, a lot of people were upset and said, well, no, maybe we shouldn't, because you've got the Santa Claus effect. Once, you know, imagine giving your son a present, and then six months later saying, you know what, I got to take that present back from you. You're going to lose it because I can't afford it anymore. How well does that work out? Same thing with this. People have got used to the subsidies. They've got used to the payouts. They got used to the money flowing in to help reduce the costs. And for those people, and there's millions of them, you can't take the Santa Claus stuff back from them without causing a huge cry and hue from the American public. And that's the problem right now.
And dare I say this, too, that there are also people out there that were affected somewhat negatively by Obamacare, but have settled into where it's at, and say to myself, I don't trust you Republicans, because these guys over here said they were going to make it cheaper and better, and they haven't, but I don't trust you anymore either, because I think you may go in and make it even worse.
Now, absolutely. Remember, the things that we've talked about in the past on this is we're talking about health care. We're not talking about health care, excuse me. We are talking about health insurance access, whether you can get health insurance. And then that leads to getting to health care. The problem is, Obamacare has done nothing, and none of the bills the Republicans have proposed, or anyone has proposed, does anything to reduce the cost of health care. And that's what drives insurance rates, and that's what drives the premiums. If health care itself could be made cheaper, if you could bring some competitive forces of the marketplace in there, you might have a way to drive down the cost for everybody. The problem is that's a complicated solution, and no one wants to address that because there's too many moving pieces, and it's just very, very complex, and they want to address the simpler issue of just getting everybody health insurance, leaving it there, even if it's a $200 policy that requires a $12,000 deductible when you make $35,000 a year living in Fargo, North Dakota. That doesn't really help you very much, but you can say you have health insurance at least.
It's insane. It really is. 844-DIG-CHAD. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. We're going to pivot from here. We got so much more to cover, including the demise of the likes of Ryan Priebus, Sean Spicer, and the addition. We take away a Spicy and a Rance, and we add a Mooch. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
You want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
Ryan and I have been personal friends for 6 years. We are a little bit like brothers, where we rough each other up once in a while, which is totally normal for brothers. There's a lot of people in here that have brothers, and so you get that. But he's a dear friend.
Like Cain and Abel were brothers, for those of you not keeping score. I just throw that out there. Ryan Priebus is gone. This guy's also gone.
I would love to have Sean here. Sean decided that he thought it would be better to go. And for me, as it relates to Sean, it speaks volumes to who he is as a human being.
But this guy's here.
We are committed as true professionals to the team and the process of getting the administration's message out. And I think that's going to be one of the big goals for us.
So Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We have exited Sean Spicy Spicerson. Reince Priebus, a.k.a. Rance Priskin, is no longer with us. But we did add a mooch, Scaramucci here. What is going on there, man?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a New Yorker thing or what. But I think it's going to be very interesting when Kelly comes in as the chief of staff and how long he's going to tolerate Scaramucci's going off the cuff and talking out of context. And also, he's going to have to report to Kelly, where right now he reports to Donald Trump. And I'm going to see, it's going to be interesting to see how that battle works out, because Kelly is a no-nonsense Marine that is not going to take any guff or any kind of out-of-line stuff from him. So I think those two are going to go at it pretty quickly. It'll be interesting to see, is it more important to be a general and to be the guy that can actually get the job done? Or is it better to be a, as we say, a FOT, friend of Trump? Is that going to be more important? Because certainly being a friend of Trump has worked better for Scaramucci than it has done for Spicer and Priebus.
I look at this, you know, Scaramucci, and, you know, his wife filed for divorce today. She cited some stuff like he's been doing all he can to get into Trump's life and to become a part of this thing for a long. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but you've got this guy, Wall Street guy. He is brash. He is loud. He is very much like Trump. It's like a mini Trump. And I look at the White House and I think to myself, what the hell is going on? I mean, this is becoming a situation where I want my president to be successful, but I think the eyes are off the prize, and it's now more about him, his kids, protecting this whole Russia thing, and surrounding himself with people that are so like-minded that it's almost uncomfortable.
Well, I'm not sure that I completely agree with that. If he had made, I was afraid that Scaramucci was going to be named chief of staff, in which case then I would have completely agreed with you. He's simply surrounding himself with his insiders and not political operatives or people that have the knowledge of how to get things done in Washington. By putting Kelly in there, that makes me a little bit more confident that he's really looking to make a change and to get this rolling down the path and to stop all these stops and starts and the chaos and the havoc and the process stories and all of that. So let's see how Kelly works out as chief of staff. And he's going to hopefully rule with an iron fist and basically get this administration rolling on the path and get the right people in there. There's still lots of positions they still haven't filled because of the chaos and just getting people through the approval process. So they still have positions out there that, you know, why they're behind on a lot of things. So they need to get that done. I think Kelly will do a good job. But if Scaramucci continues to build power in there, question also is what happens to Bannon. But does Scaramucci wind up being the next chief of staff, in which case this just becomes a reality TV program, and I don't know what you do. You throw up your hands and just, you know, I think everybody gives up on Trump at that point.
Well, and this is my thing. You know, I was in the Midwest, and I spent the last week there having a good time. People are getting over Trump very fast over there. The frustration level is growing at a high rate. They don't care about Russia. They don't care about a lot of this other crap. But they're frustrated because they feel now that he only cares about surrounding himself with certain people, and that he fights tooth and nails on things that he doesn't need to. And they're starting to get frustrated. And I look at Kelly and I think, okay, you know what? Here you go, Homeland Security. This is the guy. He's a general. He's got it. You know, John Kelly's got it all going on. But in that White House, just because you have all of that going on doesn't mean, as we've seen with Jeff Sessions and a lot of other people, that you're going to last. At some point in time, he may decide to thin the herd because he doesn't like the way you chew your gum.
Yeah, I think this is an important one. Okay, you get a pass. You put Priebus in there because you owed the Republicans. This was your olive leaf to the Republican Party. You got me elected. You helped me get through the process. I'm not a real Republican, but you guys adopted me and let me win the presidency on your ticket. I'll put Spicer in as a spokesperson. Okay, I've done my duty. It's 6 months now. Get out. I'm putting my own people in. So he gets a pass on the first one. Not everyone's first chief of staff has been a success in the presidency. But Kelly had better work out, and he'd better be able to stay there, and he better be able to do his job. Or like you said, people are getting tired of this. They want to see some success. They don't want to see a reality TV program. They want to see some bills passed, and they want to see some of those promises that he made, why they elected him, passed and moved on.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. And you know what, Jim, as I look at this, right, I look at all the whole thing and Kelly moving in there and what the potential may be. And again, it could be great. Not everybody's going to hit it out of the park. The problem is there is such a power struggle all the time in that White House. 24/7, there's a power, and you've just added a guy that is probably a bit of a loudmouth, the mooch, I mean, who's going to come in there, and that power struggle between Bannon, who's the quiet assassin, and, you know, Kushner, and everybody, that is going to grow bigger and bigger. I look at Kelly, and I'm like, dude, is this really a promotion?
Well, it's a good question. I think hopefully somebody has pulled him aside and said, look, Donald, you need someone who's going to run this place with an iron fist. You didn't really buy into Priebus. You really didn't give him the power. You let Scaramucci report to you, and he needs to report to the chief of staff. That's the way the hierarchy needs to work. Okay, the chief of staff is the number two guy. He's the guy that runs the operational part of the White House, okay? Because, Mr. President, you're the president. You're not the chief operating officer. You're the chief executive. The chief of staff is the chief operating officer of the White House. He makes sure that it runs and the bills get paid and the lights stay on and all of those things. So you need to let him do his job. You didn't have faith in Priebus. For Kelly, I think it's a good opportunity. And basically, he can rule with that iron fist. He's a Marine. He should earn everybody's respect pretty much instantly. So I think it's something that needs to be done. But if Trump gets tired of him and the infighting continues and he has to fire him and he puts in Scaramucci, like I said, it's going to turn into a reality television program, and people are going to lose their faith in Trump being able to do anything.
His name's Jim Kennedy. You can follow him at Righty Jim. As always, my man, appreciate you having you on. Can't wait to get you in the news studio next week. You better be here, brother. I'm just telling you that. Thanks a lot, as always. It's the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You can always text the program 323-538-2423. Texter writes in, are you giving up on Trump? No, I'm not giving up on Trump. I want my president to be successful. But you come to my show, I think, more so than any other show out there because I'm very objective. I'm going to look at things and I'm going to give you an honest opinion about how I feel about things. And I'm not thrilled by the way Trump's doing business. I'm not. Look, you can make up the excuses all you want that it's the fake news, this, it's that and the other. And you know what? A lot of that stuff that he said, you know what? He's right about not all of it, but a good portion of it. He's right. But you know what? None of that matters. Business will take care of itself. And people will stop paying any kind of attention to them if you handle the business. And I'm getting very frustrated because I don't think it's getting handled. I think we have this crazy dynamics of the press fighting with Trump, Trump fighting with the press. Then you've got this Russia thing that he is hyper-focused on because the press is hyper-focused on. And you got a prosecutor that it's been brought in to prosecute something. Doesn't matter what it is. They'll find something. That's what they're there to do. Somebody's going to have to go down at some point in time. And it's going to be ugly. Then you're fighting in your staff and you're 6 months into this thing and your chief of staff is gone. Whether you liked him or not, it was just a slap on the back saying, hey, Republicans here, I'll throw you a bone. But you've lost Sean Spicer and he, you know, it's a lot. It is. And there's going to be a lot of turnover and churn in these kind of businesses, but not at this rate. All the while, though, what's getting done? That's the question. What's the meaningful legislation that's getting passed? What agendas are you leading and the charge for? How would you I want to know. And I think we have every right to ask that kind of question. I'm not here to be. There are other show hosts out there. If you want kiss ass suck ups, there are plenty of them out there that will do anything this president asks, say anything. That's not me. You come here because I'm going to give you a balanced, real look at something. I'm not here to toe the line for any party. People say you're moderate. You try to please everybody. No, I want to give you the truth about stuff. I want to give you real, honest opinion, not based on, you know, I only watch Fox or I only watch MSNBC. That stuff doesn't fly. It doesn't. And I want to talk about what Americans talk about, things that happen in real people's lives. Because a lot of this crap is anything but that. It's just a bunch of baloney. Speaking of crap and things that happen, our kids, you know, I always say parenting, right? Parenting is the most important thing you will do. If you're a parent, you know that. The most important thing you're going to do is be a parent. And everything starts at home, whether it be education, whether it be values, whether it be the way you treat other human beings, it does. Now, are there people who come from horrible situations that turn out to be great? Yes, but very few. And are there people that come out of great situations as bad people? Yes, but very few. What took place in Florida last week was absolutely disgusting. And if you didn't hear about it, it is it should be mind-boggling, but what's mind-boggling is the fact that it's not mind-boggling.
A two-minute-long video clip, the five teen boys between the ages of 14 and 16 can be heard laughing as the man struggles to stay afloat in a pond in Cocoa, Florida. Rather than call for help, the teens recorded the incident on cell phone, chuckling while they watched the man die. They say this when the man goes underwater and doesn't resurface.
He just died.
Holy
So you have a bunch of kids who see somebody drowning. And you might have heard the story or saw something of it. But, and I've talked about this ad nauseum. Because if you have kids, you know that it's no longer about a human experience. It's about a social experience. Likes, shares, comments, views. It's crazy. You have a guy drowning. Now, they're 12 to 15-year-old kids. I don't expect them to rush in and save them, but you would expect as a human being to make a phone call, but it's too important to make sure that everybody knows how funny you are in a situation like this. Oh, it's very important.
Get out the water. You're going to die.
We're not finna help your
ass. You finna die in.
Ain't nobody finna help you, dumb shouldn't have got in there.
Solid, solid youth, by the way. I'm sure their parents or non-parents are very proud of them. I don't think we should be saving for college. Finnin, you're finnin about to die. What is that? You're finnin about to die. I'm finnin about to die. Shut up. Shut up. It's ridiculous. It is. And I've seen comments, well, you know, to talk about the kids and the way that's just rest. No, it's not. It's humanity. These kids lack any humanity. That starts at home. They're not the sharpest tools in the shed. And I guarantee you're probably going to need bail money, not college money. Chad, that is what? Honest? Disgusting? Now, there's nothing, by the way. There is nothing that Florida can do based specifically off said incident.
The state of Florida currently does not have a law where a citizen is obligated to render aid for anyone in distress or call for help. Both Cocoa Police and the state attorney's office say they are frustrated that no one can be held accountable in this incident. We are deeply saddened and shocked at both the manner in which Mr. Dunn lost his life and the actions of the witnesses to this tragedy. We can find no moral justification for either the behavior of the persons heard on the recording or the deliberate decision not to render aid to Mr. Dunn.
It's disgusting. It is. It's horrible. It's disgusting. The entire thing is gross. But it shouldn't shock us. Once a week, we hear a story of kids doing something stupid, filming it, and one ends up dying, and it's all caught on tape. Should this be any different? I said earlier on my Sacramento show, I said, it's a perfect example is if you fall into a train track now, nobody wants to be the hero because everybody wants to be the director. It's crazy. All you have to do is go down and pick somebody up. You know who always ends up doing it? Somebody who doesn't have a smartphone. Somebody who's over the age of 45. They jump down and do something. Why is that? Because they realize they got some humanity. It's not about the views. It's about the person in front. It's insane. But what's not insane is the fact that this happens all the time. And that I wasn't shocked by this. If something happens today, everybody reaches for their phone to film it. Everybody reaches for their phone to figure out how do you make this go viral. You got this man drowning. These kids are horrific. Sitting there taunting him as he slowly but surely drowns, knowing he's going to die. And they do nothing but taunt him. Now, they can't prosecute them for his death. But what they did recommend is, hey, we'll prosecute him for saying that there's that not reporting a dead body. Which is nothing. Little minor infraction there. But they're doing what they possibly can to try to get these kids for something. Like it's going to teach them a lesson. It's not. These kids have no humanity. Hey, maybe it's the way they were raised. Maybe it's how and where they were raised. I don't know. What I do know is when you see something like this, it shouldn't shock you. This is just a snapshot of what's going on all the time in small incidents, medium-sized incidents, and horrific incidents like this, where people are capturing things and foregoing the humanity on the other side of the camera for their own social media super hype and how they can become superstars and make things go viral when it has absolutely nothing to do with them. It doesn't. Has nothing to do with them. This is the victim's sister.
I feel like something should be done to them.
The victim's sister posted the video of the drowning on Facebook. In a Facebook Live post, she questioned the teen's humanity.
They could sit there and watch somebody die in front of their eyes. Well, imagine what they're going to do when they get older.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it's the last time in their lives they're going to have incidents. Chad, what? Being honest? Sucks, doesn't it? Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it does. I just found this disgusting. I did. I found it absolutely disgusting. And I think I found something even more disgusting, the fact that it didn't shock me. Yeah. I think the fact that it didn't shock me was more disgusting. The fact that I expect more things like this to happen. The fact that I expect there to be more incidents like this in the future. That this is just the beginning of what is going to be everybody being a writer, director, producer of social media content to the detriment of human beings who are suffering all because they want to be viral and have their 15 minutes of fame when in truth there's no fame for them to be had because nobody knows who you are. Your video just went viral. You're not a part of it. You're just filming it. Remember, Tom Cruise is the star. Nobody knows who the cameraman is. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chad@chadbensonshow.com. Some more text messages, some tweets at Chad Benson Show. Got a poll up there. Take it. Wrap it up straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Two in the water, easy.
We're happy to serve you here at the Chad Benson Show.
Do you think it's too hot for pork chops?
Would you like fries with your fast food politics?
Man, I'm hungry. I'm going to get some fries.
Sure.
I don't know why I ever come in here.
The length of time of an episode, it's got to be short. Otherwise, you just won't keep the attention of millennials. which again has some major implications, for example, for advertising. It's now being suggested that you have to run far shorter ads online with video, around 5 or 6 seconds. The design of these ads is going to have to change pretty dramatically, because you're going to have to make your case literally in a matter of seconds.
Gian Fulini, ComScore CEO. 5 to 6 seconds. That's what you have to capture the attention of a millennial. 5 to 6 seconds. And even if you capture it, you know, your message has to be quick. And it's, you're at that weird point, too, where with a millennial, you've got to entertain them. Product doesn't really matter at that point in time. Right? Product doesn't really matter. So you're in that weird world where, okay, I want to be funny and I want to get my name out there, but I want somebody to talk about my product. It's like you're going to have to figure out ways to go in about doing advertising in a different way. And dare I say even entertainment, which I've said in the past that in the future, don't be surprised that shows are going to be 15 minutes in length and dramas may be 30 minutes and there'll be fewer of them in a season. Long gone are the days of Gunsmoke when you'd run 46 episodes and be on for 20 years. That's just not going to happen. It's just not. This world is a different place. The millennials are in control of a lot of this stuff. They are 75 million strong and trying to capture them as an audience is the $1 trillion question. It's going to continue to be that way. It really is. It's going to be a tough situation going forward in the future to figure out, because they're finicky. They may like something 1 minute, but they drop it. There is no loyalty minus a few things. And even then, it's not forever loyalty. It's not. I've had friends who, you know, whose kids are millennials and they've loved their iPhones forever and a day. And yet then they go and they get a new, you know, oh, I got a new phone, not really sure about it. Next thing you know, they've got a, you know, an Android and they love it. They're not brand, you know, they like the technology, but there's brands. It's crazy. It is. But 5 to 6 seconds? That's like goldfish. It's like a goldfish. You're literally trying to impress a goldfish. Can you imagine how hard that's going to be? It's insane. Movies this weekend. Didn't talk about it earlier. Atomic Blonde comes out. Charlize Theron. Anytime you have a chance to see her in anything, I think it's a victory. Action-packed movie. James McAvoy's in it. John Goodman. That badass chick that was in The Mummy and in The Kingsman. With the things on her feet. Yeah, she's in it too. They have a hot, steamy, you know, love sex scene. It's not bad. Other movie out this weekend, the Emoji Movie. Looks kind of funny. It's about emojis. Could be kind of funny. I saw the poop emojis in it, and he's funny. I think it's played by Patrick Stewart. T.J. Miller is one of the stars of it. Like him. But looks like Dunkirk this weekend is going to be the holdover winner. And there hasn't been a mass... Minus, man, you take away Wonder Woman, Hollywood's in a lot of trouble, right? Guardians was good, did better than the first one, but you take away Wonder Woman, it's down like in the 20% range. Wonder Woman's kind of saved their ass. Spider-Man's done okay, but I'm telling you, man, Hollywood's running out of ideas. They better hope they produce more comic books. They're going to be going back looking, okay, what? Because we have a bunch of comic books around here because I got the nerds in the other room, as I call them. The Nerd Herd, and they've got, like, they were looking at Vigilante today, and this, and I'm like, man, these are some of the stuff they're going to be producing, because they're so desperate in Hollywood, so desperate. What did we learn on the Chad Benson Show this week? Well, I wasn't here for most of the week, but we missed Chad. We learned that. That's always good. We learned that you're on borrowed time at the White House. You are. Working with Donald Trump is great. It can be amazing. It's going to be stressful, but... you're on some borrowed time. It's a lot. It's like working with David Lee Roth and Van Halen. Great experience when you look back and you're out of it all. You wouldn't change it for the world. But while you're in it, it's crazy. It's a nightmare. And you don't ever wish to do it again. We learned that healthcare, skinny or obese, whatever kind of bill they tried to pass, it isn't going to get the job done. Not at this moment, not at this time. And that the Democrats are now going to have to come put some skin back in the game because they created this mess. Republicans are trying to fix it and they're doing a poor job at it. How about you both do it together? So if everything sinks, we look at both of you rather than just one. And we learn that, you know, Midwest and the coastal countries, i.e. California and New York, it's a different world. Two Americas, sometimes three and four Americas, but still America. Not right, not wrong, not better, not worse, still America. Solid, fun show as always. Follow us Facebook, Chad Benson Show. Like us at Chad Benson Show Twitter, and always text the program 323-538-2423. For Phil, for Anthony, my name's Chad Benson. As always, I bid you adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.